You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
You are now entering the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, a show that uncovers what's fact, what's fake, and what's fun in the crazy world of pseudo-archaeology.
Hello and welcome to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 159, and we are coming at you live from the Royal Hawaiian Hotel in precious and beautiful Waikiki Beach, Hawaii. Tonight, the history of the Royal Hawaiian Pink Palace, and is it haunted? You know the answer to that. All right, guys, so I'm trying something new here. I am doing a live, podcast, and I'm feeling really weird about it because I'm, like, walking around in the lobby downstairs area at the Royal Hawaiian, and there's, like, people here, and I'm just, if I'm honest, feeling like a dick because I'm like recording myself and there's like, you know, people on their vacation having a little bit of fun. But I thought I would just try this because it's fascinating, right? I happen to find myself here at the Royal Hawaiian. I'm here for a wedding for just, you know, a handful of days. And, you know, whenever you are quote unquote trapped at the Royal Hawaiian, that is the best place on earth to be trapped. I love Hawaii. Who doesn't? And the Royal Hawaiian is, if you guys don't know this hotel, it's kind of the one. It's the one that every postcard kind of goes to, like, coming to you from glorious Hawaii. You know, all those postcards are sort of like 1950s style postcards with a diamond head in the back and all that. And you're like, greetings from surfing Hawaii. That surf is the break outside the Royal Hawaiian. So I first came here like maybe 12 years ago or something. I got a super great deal on a two-night stay, I think, here at the Royal Hawaiian. I always wanted to try it out. I always wanted to see what was up with it. And my family and I, we just thought it was fantastic, right? Again, how can you not? It has this deep feeling of history. And since I'm here, I thought, hey, man, I'll just record this and see where we go. You'll probably hear a bunch of stuff behind my voice. You'll probably hear, like, you'll hear music, you'll hear wind. Who knows, man? So let's just go on this journey. I'll talk about the history of the world. I'll talk about anything that kind of goes with the pseudo-archaeological world to be thematically correct. And, you know, we're just going to try this out. And, dude, I got to tell you, this recording situation that I'm doing is so janky and odd that I have no idea if I'm literally just talking to the wind or not. But, so when you talk about a place like this, people are always talking about, like, you know, is it haunted or not? And, you know, the reason this comes to me is because, first, it's one of the oldest places in, on Waikiki. It is not the oldest hotel, although a lot of people think it is. It's actually, I think, maybe the second oldest. The Moana Surfrider is the oldest hotel, built in 1901. It's right down the street from here. And, you know, when people talk about like a haunted area, the Moana Surfrider is the one that comes up, and it's Victorian in style. It is very cool. I've never stayed there. It's just, it's literally like stone's throw from here. It has that Victorian vibe. And people talk about when they see ghosts or whatever around here, that they're like dressed in 19th century garb. And it's like, yeah. When they talk about ghosts of Royal Hawaiian, Royal Hawaiian was built in 1927. So, like, already, your 19th century garb is out of place, my friend. But because people don't know history too well, they just think of, like, old place. They just think old place equals haunted. You know what I mean? And so, like, between the Royal Hawaiian and the Moana Surfrider, I think it's like ghost stories. And it is a bummer because the real history of this place is cool. Now, I tried to find, because I care about you people, I tried to find specific ghost stories, and there's really not anything too great. They're all related to other places, locally. But again, you find just vague hauntings around here, and it doesn't really fit with anything here that we look close, so there's no real story about that kind of stuff. It's so funny doing this thing live. I'm constantly like pausing and having to stop talking because there's so many people here. You guys, it's so crazy just walking around. And on top of all of it, I have to give you a play-by-play. I'm also like trying all this on my phone. I'm trying the recording thing we call Zencaster on my phone. And it's and it's like, of course my recording is like only on 5G now, and the Wi-Fi is cut out. Of course it has. The Wi-Fi is not cut out this entire trip until right now, as I start to do this. Oh my god, I don't even know if this is... The editors are going to have, like, a deal and a half with this. I will say that my own history here, like, why I care about this being here, also has its own interest for me. Because I've come to Hawaii since I was 6 years old, and my dad was originally in the Navy before I was born. And when we were little kids, my parents used to like to come here. My dad used to like to relive his Hawaii days, you know, being stationed in Honolulu at Pearl Harbor. So I remember first coming there when I was six. You guys, it was in 1978, and my mom would get these cheap flight deals. And so one of the first years we came, I think we literally came on what everyone called, like, oh wait, isn't that a Vietnam plane? We got a flight from World Airways. And if you guys look historically, if you look up like Vietnam World Airways, World Airways, which is not around anymore, sent a couple planes to Vietnam to kind of try and take some of the refugees out, like in the like in 1975 or so, right when the Vietnam War was ending. And there's this fascinating account trying to land these planes, a bunch of people trying to get on the planes to try to get out of Vietnam. It's this harrowing tale. So I'm coming with my parents like 3 years later after that to Hawaii, and there was this mix-up with our plane. I remember this as a six-year-old. And they were like, oh, we have to take the Vietnam plane. And it was, I believe it was the 747. But it was a large, you know, big jet plane. And the seats had been changed out. And the seats inside were way smaller than regular planes. Because the Vietnamese people were smaller. And they were trying to get the maximum amount of people in there. And I remember, I think they gave my dad two seats. Just because if you were like a 6 foot tall guy, you couldn't even fit. But that is one of my earliest memories of sort of coming here. And we would just hang, we'd get the cheapest hotel like 5 blocks from the beach, you know, and walk down in our flip-flops to the beach itself. And now here I am standing at the Royal Hawaiian. It's crazy, you guys. When we come back, more on the history of the Royal Hawaiian. Actually, we are back for segment two of episode 159, me here live at the Royal Hawaiian, just walking around the grounds. Man, some of the tropical birds are so awesome here. But I'm currently in the, there's this little lawn outside the main sign that kind of says Royal Hawaiian. And this place is called the Pink Palace because the whole thing is, you guys, painted a very sort of bright pink. It was built in 1927. And it is what we call, I mean, it's Spanish style. I think it's Spanish style. You'll hear sort of, some people say sort of more of a Spanish Moorish style, but that, which is fine. But if any of you kind of know that California Spanish, kind of the Santa Barbara look almost, it looks like that. It's got the arches and this kind of thing, stucco, you know. yeah, it has that vibe. Because being 1927, that's when it was, built, and that was the height of style. They did talk about how this was influenced by a Rudolph Valentino movie, and you would see that in the 1920s, right? You know, if we talk archaeology, even Egyptology, like the Egyptian theater in Hollywood, right? You would have movies being such a big deal that they would influence architecture. So this is a place that had that, this Moorish Spanish style that goes with the times. Rudolph Valentino. I will also say that there's an addition on the Royal Hawaiian. There's a tower that's maybe, I don't know, 8 stories high. I'm looking at it right now. That was done in the late 60s, and the tower portion has a total Mad Men vibe. Even Mad Men, I think, was recorded. They did one episode where they were here for a second. You guys remember the Hawaiian episode where they go on a trip to Hawaii? Don and his, like, new wife, they're here. And it just totally has that feel. So it's funny. You actually get 2-for-1 at the Royal Hawaiian. You get the 1920s elegance thing, and you get the late 60s kind of funky Americana thing, right? It's all pink and pink. And even at 8 stories for that, and maybe 4 to 6 stories for the original portion of the Royal Hawaiian, it's very, very low in terms of buildings at Waikiki. So you have all these huge buildings, right? And then you have this, like, low but sprawling Royal Hawaiian. It's just, there's that look. If you're ever like, what's that low pink hotel with all the big ones around it? That's where I'm at. Now, the history of this place, again, there's so much there. So it's built in 1927, and they have this, like, $10 a plate dinner at sort of the opening ceremony. And they say that's equivalent to $1,000 today. I don't think 10 bucks is equivalent to $1,000 today. I don't think inflation has been that crazy. But what they're trying to say, I think, when they say that, is the party that they threw in 1927 is equivalent to $1,000 party today. And that I totally believe. As I walk through here, I wonder if you guys can actually hear the birds chirping and stuff. It's pretty awesome. I am trying to go in to a side door because that's what we do on the Pseudo Archaeology Podcast. Here we go. All right. So, you might have noticed it getting a little bit quieter. And I'll be a bit quieter too as we go, because I don't want to disturb people. But there's a hallway, as there always is in a lot of these kind of historic hotels, where they have all their history stuff. And I swear to God, it's always by the gym. You know, it's kind of like the far away. And in this case, it totally is. So the gym at first, and then you have a bunch of artifacts from the 20s, which is very cool, very historic. And looking at some of the stuff, they have the newspaper from 1927, February 2nd, 1927. The Honolulu Advertiser, where the headline is "Hotel Opening Brilliant," right? And they have other headlines. You know how they have this main headline, and then they have those slightly smaller headlines. Modern ancient Hawaii etched in vivid colors. Aloha spirit hovers over Great Palace, right? Actually, it's fun to look at the other headlines. Check out this one: Booze and Auto put girl on road to ruin. drunk driving in the 1920s. Now they have like glass cases here with some of the artifacts. They're sterling silver. This very 1920s, you know, we are having a big party, a feast kind of thing. And they have photos as you walk down the hallway, all 1920s in feel. But there is one, my favorite one, which says, like, opening night 1927. And if you've ever seen The Shining, the photo that they have here looks exactly like The Shining photo. If you guys, if you've seen that movie, you know how it's the same kind of deal. It takes place in a big hotel that has history behind it, so they kind of have that haunted thing that they do. But they have this great photo of, you can see it's the height of the 1920s. but it's going to be like 2 years later, and it's going to be the Great Depression, and everything's going to change around this place. So walking along, actually in the hotel, it's a cool sort of combo of they have the old with the new. Like, I'm walking by this historic stuff, and then there's also like a spa, some other artifacts. Oh, they have some photos of Amelia Earhart. So we've done like Amelia Earhart on here in the past, and we have Amelia Earhart here again. Photos here because anyone who's anyone stops at the Royal Hawaiian, right? Even after the Great Depression, still like kind of the place to be if you're the jet set, right? Go to the Royal Hawaiian. And Amelia Earhart, actually, I think in my episode on Amelia Earhart, I talked about this, where she was originally going to go this way around the world, right, on her around the world flight that, of course, ended in tragedy. But she started it at going Oakland to Honolulu, and I think she had a problem. She landed too hard with her plane in Honolulu, and then they had to fix the plane, wait a few weeks, bring it back to Oakland, and then she went the other way. So the small breakdown that happened here at the Honolulu airport basically changed history for Amelia Earhart. And then as we end our tour of the hallway of history, it ends actually with a spa, of course, because all history should end with a spa. Then we return. Part three of my crazy life walk through the Royal Hawaiian. All right, hello and welcome back to the Pseudo Archaeology Podcast. We are doing our live special at the Royal Hawaiian, and I'm feeling like a tool as I walk around, and there's a bunch of people here, and I'm talking into my phone. I do notice, you know, back on sort of the like, oh, is it haunted? There are some, like a stairway that doesn't really go anywhere. So it's something that where I can see people going like, oh, is it or isn't it? And it's because it feels weird to have a stairway that doesn't really do anything now. And it's because if you have a historic construction like the Royal Hawaiian, they can't. It's better to reuse the original architecture than it is to tear it out, right? That's the National Historic Preservation Act in action, which I'm sure the Royal Hawaiian is on. So when you're on that, it's about reusing what's there rather than tearing it out, right? Because you want to maintain the authenticity. And I think they've done a really good job of that, but it doesn't take away from the odd feeling of going up a very nice spiral staircase. There's the staircase, it's spiral staircase is maybe slightly the wrong word, but it gives the feeling. It's tiled, it's really nice, it's obviously original. And I'm guessing maybe it used to be like the servant's stairway or something like that, but now it just goes nowhere. You can go up it. From the bottom to the fourth floor, and it's a spiral staircase up, and then you can walk down. And there's no real sign on it, it just is like that. But again, when you have a place that is old, as we think of it in America, you know, in this case, 1927, almost 100 years, down the way you have the Moana Surf Rider that was first opened in 1901, and you mix that with a deeper Hawaiian history, of course, that's relatively, most people are relatively ignorant about, you know, let's be honest. You mix that, and again, in this location too, you do have originally structures like heiaus. Heiaus are basically religious or ritual platforms that the Hawaiians built that I think every island has. I've been to several on the Big Island, here on Oahu. They're these sort of platform mounts is like a relatively fair way to put it. And, you know, in some of those, you could have burials nearby or this sort of thing. So you have poor understanding about Hawaiian culture like that, added with a poor understanding of early American buildings, added with the want to have kind of a haunting, you know, such sort of thing. And then added on top of that of people being heightened on alert because they want a haunting thing, that every little creak and breeze that they hear or feel here, and since it's an old building, you'll have extra they'll report it as sort of this apparition or something like that. And I do have to tell you guys, and I think you'll agree with me, when you're at a place like this, you do feel the weight of history a little bit. And that's in the best sense. You know what I mean? You do feel like, wow, Amelia Earhart was like right here. You know, you can pick your poison. There's been so many famous people who've stayed in this place over the years. That you're like, oh, I'm in this like important place in history, right? You feel it. And that's a great thing. But that doesn't have anything to do with it being haunted. That just means you as a human are experiencing your feelings. And that's, again, it's awesome. You feel connected to the sort of greater history of the last 100 years and beyond. But there's no apparition dressed in 19th century dresses around the corner. It's just you trying to make sense out of the weight of history. And so, you know, with that, that's deep. But, you know, that's the part where we sort of have our little learning experience here. Again, I've been walking around. I'm actually back in what would be the main ballroom. I think they've changed the architecture here just a little bit. Again, they've tried to keep it as 1927 as possible. But I believe they have partitioned, yeah, what used to be a great ballroom. I think they've split it in half lengthwise. This is still a very large room, you guys. But it's been partitioned from the 1927 Shining photo of it, which I get. They did it fair because they partitioned in the style of the 1920s. If you didn't know, if you weren't a nerd like us, you wouldn't notice. And that's how it's supposed to be done. So, like, if your home happened to be covered by the Historic Preservation Act, right? And let's say you want to add a second story. You could still do it as long as it's of the time, right? In this case, in the 1920s fashion. So that's cool. And now, I'm sure if you haven't heard of Walk Outside, kind of walking through the restaurant, they got a lot of piped music here. I am looking right over at glorious Waikiki Beach. I'm trying to get through the restaurant. You know, sometimes in these places, you kind of have to wind your way through, and you're like, even though you've walked this way like 20 times, you can't remember exactly how to get there. So, let's see. Going by the pool. And now I am at the surf shop, which I highly recommend. Hey. Surfboards for like a $25 rental for an hour. It's totally worth it. Done a bunch of times. And now my friends, my feetsies, are in the sand of Waikiki Beach. And if you think this is awesome, you'd be right. I am actually going to walk all the way down to give my viewers, I can feel the light trade wind blowing. Midday, 11:40. It's great. You get my feet are prickly in the warm sands and waves of the Pacific. This is great. I think my podcast has just become like like an ASMR, whatever show. Where you're just like listening. Come with me and see what's up in the as the calming waves of Waikiki Beach wash over you. And we can turn back around and look at one. It's one of those things too where I'm sure it was threatened with being torn down like in the 50s. And if they had, it would just be some like crappy high rise like all the others. The fact that they kept it in to that neighbor of history, I just think it's great. And I think all of us can agree on that. I'm taking my last look. see Diamond Head in the background. I mean, when you're here, you are living in the post. I'll see you guys next time, but I'm just going to let the sounds roll for a moment.
Thanks for listening to the Pseudo Archaeology Podcast. Please like and subscribe wherever you like and subscribe. And if you have questions for me, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, feel free to reach out using the links below or go to my YouTube channel, Kinkella Teaches Archaeology. See you guys next time.
The Archaeology Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Our executive producer is Ashley Airy. Our social media coordinator is Matilda Siebrecht. And our chief editor is Rachel Roden. The Archaeology Podcast Network was co-founded by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle in 2014 and is part of Cultural Media and DigTech LLC.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.